Welcome to Legal Talk with attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Auto accidents, DUIs, slip and falls, each one can change your life. But the trial-tested, trial-ready attorneys at Flesh and Beck Law relieve your legal burden. Whether you need to heal from an injury or protect your future in a criminal matter, the legal team at Flesh and Beck Law is prepared to defend your rights. Now, here's Legal Talk with your host, Scott Whatley, and attorney Kevin Flesh.
Welcome to Legal Talk. My name is Scott Whatley. We appreciate you being with us. Our show is brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. 303-806-8886 is the number. And it's always good to have attorney Kevin Flesh in studio with us. Kevin, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you.
I recently had a friend and contacted you and all, and man, just driving normal through, guy blows a red light, T-bones him, and his car is probably totaled. And only to find out the gentleman's uninsured.
Yep.
Not a lick of insurance. So I thought we'd kind of talk about that today. Needless to say, you can't pick who you get into an accident with. But when it comes to light, and it will relatively quickly after you get out of the cars, man, what do you do?
Yeah, so the first couple of that example is a good one, because he was taken, he went to the emergency room, was shooken up. They did a bunch of tests, and he seems to be okay. The thing that I always concern myself with is individuals who call me shortly after an accident like that. And they say, well, you know, yep, the authorities at the scene could tell that I had some issues going on medically, so they sent me to the, a lot of times they send them by ambulance to the ER, and you spend some time, and they run some tests. And then you get home the next couple of days, and people call me, and they'll be like, no, I'm pretty good. I mean, I'm sore. You know, and I have this or that, but they don't really want to go see their primary care physician, or they don't really want to go see folks that really can help with sort of whiplash symptoms and things like that. And in this particular conversation that I had with the individual, that was the same thing, where they were just hesitant to do it. And I can never understand. You get into these situations, and they're critical times where you want to make sure you document what's happened, and you don't want to exaggerate, because that's not what I'm looking for.
Right.
But I think people want to be as positive about their physical outlook as possible and say, oh, it's not a big deal. I'll be all right. And a lot of times it's that 3 or 4 days after where you...
Yeah. Matter of fact, this happened on a Wednesday late evening. And when I talked to him, sent him a text, he said, you know, sore. Doing. I said, Sunday's coming.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Because
right.
In 4 days, dude, I'm telling you.
Right.
It's a difference.
Yeah. And you got to get in. So... to answer your question directly, yeah, so he finds out that the person that hit him doesn't have any insurance, or at least they didn't say they did at the scene. And you never know. Sometimes what we do is, so this is where you call the police come out, they do the report. You want to make sure that the police document the accident and the people involved. Because sometimes the people that do cause the accident may not have insurance at the time, in the sense of proof, but they may have insurance.
Gotcha.
And so what we do once we're retained is we make sure we understand what exactly the people are saying with regard to their insurance. Maybe there's a language barrier. Maybe they were injured themselves and they didn't have a conversation with the police, and police just said uninsured, and then they didn't cite them or whatever, and we figure that out. But if it's truly a situation where the person doesn't have any insurance, you still have options, in the sense that when a person comes in, we can do an asset search, see if maybe they have assets that we can go after, in the sense of making a claim against them, or reach out to these people to see that they do have insurance, they just didn't tell that to the police. You know, it happens in slip and fall cases too.
Sure,
I just had a case with a slip and fall at a big apartment complex this spring, and the people, we make the claim, the management company just won't get back to us. The company that owns the apartment complex won't get back to us. We file suit, we serve the people we need to serve, they still don't get back to us. We file for a default judgment, we get a default against them, we set the matter for a damages hearing, because that's how it works, and then we send the notice, because you're supposed to, you don't have to, but I think it's good practice to send that notice of that hearing again to the person that you've served. And lo and behold, 2 weeks before the hearing, we have Chubb Insurance get in contact with us. And it's like, oh, they do have insurance. And, oh, they are involved.
Gotcha.
And so then So we never give up hope, but in the event that you really do have a situation where there's no insurance, it's a time that you still need to document what's happening to yourself mm-hmm. and your injuries. And then hopefully you have underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage, and then you make a claim against your own policy.
Right.
But I was talking with an insurance agent yesterday, my insurance agent, my personal one, and we were chatting about underinsured, uninsured motorists. And he was saying that there's a couple of companies in the marketplace right now that if you go online and you are shopping for rates and they kind of qualify you in the way of assets. And so if you have low assets and you don't make a lot of money, these companies on the internet for the quote are immediately rejecting underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage for $25,000 policies. So for the minimum state minimum policies, they're not even quoting it with you. And then if you accept their price, you have to reject the underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage.
Wow.
So, you know, we know that there's at least 35% of the drivers in Colorado that just don't have any insurance at all. And then another whatever, a pretty good size percentage they just have the minimums. And $25,000, you, like your friend, he got T-boned. He went to the emergency room. They run an MR. I had a procedure where I went to the ER in January this year because I was having some vertigo symptoms and I didn't know what was going on. So they brought me in, had me do an MRI, a CT scan, and some blood work and some other things. I was in the ER for a couple hours. I got the bill last month, $38,000 for that ER visit. Now, my health insurance didn't pay that much, but that's what they billed.
Right.
If you have a $25,000 policy and don't have a health insurance, that at-fault party is their limits are gone.
I mean, why would they even allow that to be that the minimum? I mean, it's so low, and I think everybody would recognize that.
I think because the legislature just has not increased that amount based upon inflation. I mean, it's been $25,000. I've been practicing for 25 years, and it's been $25,000 for that whole time. So they just haven't increased it.
Because it's not doing anybody any favors.
No, yeah. It's not. It's not at all, except for the person that has, you know, a little bit of whiplash, $4,000 or $5,000 in medical expenses with a chiropractor, and they're able to resolve it. But we're seeing it. There are several insurance carriers in the market that only sell that product. Individuals, or insurance companies like Fred Loya, those sorts of companies that they just... they're awful to deal with. So you may comply with the statute, but the people, there's just not enough money there to take care of things in a credible
way. So what do you
way.
Like to see on that line when you look at a policy for uninsured, underinsured, for us to take out? I mean, you know, we always kind of say as much as you can afford, but I mean, what, 100, 150?
Yeah, I mean, right. So remember, this is insurance for yourself. And so if... You have to decide what you can afford. I think 100, 300 is the minimums I would go with for underinsured, uninsured motorist coverage.
Okay.
Just because you get into a moderate car accident, like I said, where you go to the ER and then, you know, there's nothing broken, but you still have low back or upper back problems where you may have an injection or something like that. You don't have surgical intervention, but you have physical therapy, you have a bunch of chiropractic work, and then some other things needed to diagnose and conservatively treat what the issues you have, or you have a rotator cuff tear. You know, you're talking about $40,000-$50,000 in medical, and you're going above $100,000 really quickly.
Yeah.
And that's sort of in this environment. I'm just finishing up a case where my client had a rotator cuff tear. She tried to treat conservatively for a couple of years, didn't get better. She just went in and got a surgery for it through Medicaid. So, but they still billed Medicaid $40,000 for the surgery. And so it's now a really significant case. And luckily we've got some pretty good limits for herself and for the at-fault driver. But in the event that she would have had a $25,000 policy and the at-fault driver would have had a $25,000 policy, she just ate it up all in medical.
Right.
And she's never going to get any real money for her pain and suffering because most likely there aren't any assets there to attach to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kevin Flesh is with us. You're listening to Legal Talk. Show's brought to you by Flesh and Beck Law. Once again, Kevin's number, 303-806-8886. So, all right, let's say you're not hurt too bad, but your car is destroyed.
Right.
Can you sue? Now, again, if they don't have insurance, they may not have anything, but can you, does it help to file a lawsuit on them just to try to get some of the money back?
Sometimes it does. I mean, sometimes we can shake the tree a little bit to find that there's assets there that they are willing to pay something towards the loss. Mm-hmm. Now, most people will have collision coverage as part of their full coverage of their insurance. And so if you have an uninsured or underinsured, and there are some carriers out there that maybe you have the minimum limits for bodily injury, so you have a $25,000 policy. But let's say your policy is from Texas, where you only have to have $15,000 in collision coverage. So, I mean, once again, you look at the value of vehicles these days. I mean, if you have a fairly new vehicle, it's going to be worth $15,000. And so I've got a case right now where client had a F-150, Ford F-150, and it got hit bad, broke the back end, the axle on the back of the vehicle.
Wow.
You know, they totaled out the vehicle because of the bad axle. And the person that hit them only had $15,000 worth of coverage. Well, it was a $30,000 vehicle. So now we've got $15,000 that hasn't been taken care of. So in that situation, we made a claim against the party's own insurance as well to try to get those things covered. Mm-hmm. And we'll have to wait and see how that all turns out.
Then is that a situation where, how does that work then? Because that's not really on a contingency for you because you're filing a lawsuit, right?
It can be. So okay. We generally try to stay away from property damage.
Right.
Because there's just not enough money there. And what you're doing, I mean, I always give the client the option as to how they want to handle that aspect of the case. Most people can get it resolved on their own. Okay. But in the situation where I've got a case that I just picked up relating to a damage to a Winnebago, to a big RV. And in that case, the people that did the repairs to the RV really damaged the vehicle to the point where I think it's going to be totaled. Now, my client has put some money in for the repairs, but they don't have another $10,000 or $15,000 for attorney fees to go after them. So we're handling that on a contingency basis, and they understand that, and we've had that conversation. But most of your car accident sort of cases, you're fighting over a few thousand dollars in value. And then it really doesn't make sense for me to get involved to take that away because the people are left with not as much money as if they had just handled it themselves and maybe settled it on
a
discount.
But that's where the free consultation is just always priceless, I tell people, because you know what? I told my friend, I go, hey, if there's something there that it's good for you and he can help, he will. And if he says, hey, he'll give you some tips to do on your own, if not.
Right.
You know, and I mean, that's all you can really do because it is what it is.
Yeah, I had a call this week from a potential client that they're dealing with insurance company that's not giving them a complete fair shake on the deal because they're unrepresented. So they've got $7,000 in medicals. The insurance company's offering them $12,000 or $13,000 to resolve the case. And based upon what they told me, I thought that the case probably had a value of $21,000, maybe $24,000. But we sort of started going through the math on that sort of claim, and sort of came to the conclusion, and I gave them some advice to try to get up the offer another few thousand dollars because then it made sense for them to resolve it. And if they aren't able to do it, then have them come in and I'll file suit. Because in that particular situation, I think the value, let's say at $21,000, we take a third of whatever we recover.
Right.
So we would have $7,000 in attorney fees for the work that we do on the case. So that drops it down to $14,000. We then have the filing fees right now for a civil case are $425, and we would need to serve the at-fault party, and that service of process is between $75 and $100, something like that, depending upon how much work this processor is. So you're talking about another $500 to $600 in costs before we start talking about medical records and all this other stuff. So let's say if we settle the case fairly early on after resolving it or after filing suit, you know, you're probably looking at $7,000 in attorney fees and $1,000 in costs. So that's $8,000 off that $21,000. Well, that's $13,000 that's going to be ending up in my client's pocket. And in this particular case, all of their medicals had been taken care of through MedPay, so there wasn't any subrogation interests, and no health insurance and no Medicaid or anything like that. And so we kind of talked our way through it and realized that under those scenarios, we could go after them for that amount and probably get it. But the only one that was really gaining anything would be me. And it didn't make sense for the client to do that. I mean, I like the work, but
sure.
It really wasn't something that... So what I told them, like what you're saying with the free consultation, is I said, well, see if you can get them up to 12,500, 13,000, maybe a little bit more than that. So offer 14,500 as a number because they were at 12, and see if they will be able to negotiate something up. And if you can get in that range, then resolve it, because you'll save yourself a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble having to deal with me, going through discovery, maybe a deposition, maybe mediation, all of those sorts of things. Because some of these companies, what they're doing is they're forcing people into doing that and making them go through all of that hardship to get to a point where they make an offer that's reasonable. And I know who those companies are. And so when I have that call, I'll say, you know, in this particular case, the company was being pretty good with them in the sense of a pro se, a person that's representing themselves and providing the information and making a claims decision.
Right.
The insurance company was still discounting it because they weren't represented by counsel. But because they weren't, when you do the math and you look at the incremental cost of what it would have cost them to have me get involved, it made sense to resolve it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know that until, you know, you get a call from someone. Your friend calls me and says, well, what's this case worth? 3 days after the event. Well, I don't know because I don't know what insurance or
right.
what they're going to be doing for medical treatment and who's paid it, how it's going to be paid, and all of those sorts of things. Because what people really mean when they say to me, well, what's the case worth? What they're saying is, what are you going to put in my pocket?
Exactly.
Well, I mean, they are.
No,
because,
right.
Because when we start talking about valuation, they always look at the number that we settle for and then... But they don't understand the back end of the transaction a lot of times with regard to who's paying all the bills. And that's why it's so important for us to get involved early on in the process, because we can help you with, you know, discussions about med pay and when to use your health insurance and when to use other possible avenues that will save you money in the long run.
Because you get, if someone calls you early on and, you know, you can get them set up with a doc, a lot of times they'll do a lien, what they call a lien.
Yep.
And then, you know, they're not out anything till it's settled.
That's right.
Yeah.
But when you talk about those liens, the liens aren't always necessarily the most cost-effective way for the client to get medical treatment.
Okay.
So if the client, I mean, there's a little bit of a premium there because people are basically, you know, the lien company is lending money to that client for those medical services.
Right.
So a lot of times, unless the doctors have, they'll do what's called the direct lien, where they'll hold the paper themselves. So they will say to you when you go in, we'll treat you on a contingency, basically, that you'll get money when you get the case resolved. And I'm just going to hold that promissory note with me and wait for you to get it resolved. And Kevin's going to help you and everything's going to be fine. We're going to get it taken care of and we'll get paid at the end. That's easy, and that generally is a pretty good value for the customer and for the client and for the patient. But where sometimes we get into situations where the client has no other option. They don't have health insurance. They don't have med pay. They don't have resources themselves to pay cash. Because generally those three avenues on the back end are going to save you money in the sense of subrogation interests. If you don't have any of those things, though, and you need treatment, you know, if a person comes in, I think I've told you this in prior episodes that we've talked about, where a client literally came in with a broken arm into my office, you know, holding it. I can tell they're like, well, I don't have any way to get to medical treatment. You know, we immediately got them on a lien and got them treated with an orthopedic and got things taken care of for them. And that was a great outcome for them because they had no other options. And if you don't, we have great options for people to do those sorts of things. But they have to make money too. And the reason that those lien companies are out there is because there's this gap where people don't have the ability to have these medical procedures done. And the companies basically go to the doctors and say, what will you charge me to do a rotator cuff revision? You know, what will you charge me for a shoulder surgery? And that amount is X. And then they say, well, what do you would normally charge in the marketplace for the surgery? You know, so it might be, they say, well, we'll take $10,000 for the surgery, but we bill $20,000. Well, the lien company then tries to get somewhere between the 10 and the 20, and that's their profit. Makes sense. And they're adding value in the sense of they're putting up the resources so the doctor will do the surgery, because the doctor, most orthopedics, for example, don't hold their own liens.
Sure.
They want to go through someone that they're going to make sure they are guaranteed what they do, they get paid for. And, I mean, that's the whole point of health insurance.
Right.
It's not any different, except the person isn't making a premium payment every month. They're going to pay you at the end of the end of the deal. And so that's where coming to us early on really helps. You know, the person had a call yesterday. The person treated for 6-8 months and then said, well, COVID hit. She's back injury. And she said, well, COVID hit and I couldn't do anything. I said, well, I've had patients and clients treating through COVID without a lot of trouble. You know, what's going on? How can we help you? Well, I didn't really have the resources to do it. Okay. Well, let's try to. But that person now is 14 months out from their accident. Mm-hmm. And so that 14-month gap or 6-month gap in their treatment is going to give the opportunity for the insurance company to say, come on, did this happen from the car accident or did it happen some other way or why is this gap here? And so if we get people early on and help them through the process, we can really manage their case better than coming in right before the statute of limitations runs.
Right. Only about a minute and a half left, but a couple of tips I think we ought to give out is just, taking pictures of, documents and different things. And we're talking about insurance, but, taking pictures. I just read something on Facebook today where somebody just had a policy number and they couldn't read their own writing or what they had written, and they transposed some numbers. So, and I've never really asked this, but is it cool to ask a person for their driver's license and take a picture of that as well as their insurance card?
Absolutely. It completely makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, and I always think that's a good idea. Like we've talked about it, the pictures. We have phones now that can gather all that information. You don't, because most people would miswrite something.
Yeah.
The VIN on the car, the license plate, what the person looks like. This is the driver. You have a picture of them. Get their ID, get their insurance information so that you know who the company is. You know what the policy number is. You can put it all together. Take pictures of the accident scene. There's so much that you can do that we'll never be able to gather that information if you don't do it at the time.
Because, man,
same thing with slip and falls. People, when they fall down, my first question anymore is, did you take a picture of the area where you fell? Because that's going to be huge. And it is. People, that's what we rely on anymore.
Sure.
And it is the best evidence, quite frankly, especially in the premises liability world. What did it look like at the time that you fell? Because this is what the claim rep is going to look at.
Man, we forget.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Absolutely.
What happened?
Yeah, or where exactly it happened.
Yeah.
Photographs will really help jog your memory relating to that.
Sure.
It's so important.
Absolutely. Kevin, always great information. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kevin Flesh, Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886. Thank you for being with us here for Legal Talk. Dr. Ben, Functional Medicine, coming up next.
Call now for a free consultation with Flesh and Beck Law, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886, or visit fleshlawfirm.com. That's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com. A proven team dedicated to your legal needs.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group, 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
This is Chris Kane with 303 Roofer. If you have an insurance claim on your roof and want to keep some of that money in your pocket, give us a call and we'll give you a cash bid to replace your roof. You pay insurance every month and now insurance has paid you. It's your money and we understand that. So give us a call at 303-390-1382 or visit our website, 303roofer.com.
Have you been thinking about a new pair of glasses? Maybe some prescription sunglasses? Well, look no further than Stack Optical. Since 1968, yes, you heard me right, since 1968, Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality ocular care for their patients. This family-owned business is proud to be one of the few optical offices that has their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Stack Optical, located at 2233 South Monaco Parkway, features the most extensive lines of eyeglass frames, sunglasses, and contact lenses to ensure that you love your appearance and experience superior comfort. Our comprehensive eye exams proactively diagnose eye conditions and diseases while providing the most accurate vision care. We welcome you to experience a lifetime of superior ocular care from doctors that are devoted to your eye health. Call now for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. At Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
Some skills you only develop through practice. In October of this year, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law celebrates 25 years defending both civil and criminal cases. He has earned the tagline, trial tested, trial ready. In civil cases such as personal injury, your attorney has the burden of proof to persuade a jury that you deserve a certain sum of money in return for your pain and suffering. However, because only a small percentage of personal injury cases go to trial, most personal injury attorneys do not spend much time in the courtroom over the course of their careers. Kevin Flesh stands apart from the rest because he represents both criminal and civil cases. After an estimated couple hundred jury trials, Kevin has learned how a jury reacts to evidence. He knows how to gauge how much money a jury will likely award in your case. Trial tested, trial ready for 25 years. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886.
For years now, you've heard me talk about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and yes, for almost 20 years, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center has been taking care of our pets. From medical, grooming, boarding, and even training, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is your one stop for all of your pets' needs. Not only is their facility state-of-the-art, but now you can download the free Lone Tree Vet app and visit their online store for your pet products and pharmacy needs. You can also have your very own pet portal. Plus, don't forget to read their blogs at LoneTreeVet.com. Do you take your dog on hikes? Check out Hiking the Trail Safely with Your Dog. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. Call today, 303-708-8050, or check them out, LoneTreeVet.com.
Hey, Dan, you know our jobs are pretty different. I'm a baseball announcer, you're an attorney and a talk show host.
Yeah, but we do have something in common.
Really? What's that?
Our favorite car dealer, Len Lyle Chevrolet.
Yeah, definitely not your typical dealership.
That's so true, Jack. No high-pressure sales tactics. They respect your time. And when you have two jobs, that's important.
You know, I'd recommend Len Lyle Chevrolet to anyone. And with their low overhead, that means
lower prices. Yeah, we really do have something in common.
Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the least. Chevy, find new roads.
This is KLZ 560, your home station.
It's time for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins. Dr. Ben is committed to helping patients find the root cause of their health problems. Increase your vitality to live your fullest life without drugs and surgery. Now, here's your host, Dan Muir.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins, Nashville, and Phoenix, Arizona. And I am your host, Dan Muir, and on the phone with me is the one and only Dr. Ben. Doc, how you doing today?
Oh, loving the weather. Broke a little bit and can actually get outside.
Yeah, you're not going to like sweat to death or die of smoke inhalation or whatever you call it. Man, I'm telling you what. So it's been crazy lately.
Yeah, my kids are all playing soccer, and one of them the other day had to go from 3:30 until 7 between two practices for soccer. And it was like 96, and I'm like, I would have died.
You, Mr. In Shape?
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
It's okay to be young.
Oh, to be young again, right? Oh, my gosh. But, you know, that's kind of what functional medicine can help you do, because I'm telling you, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, Dr. Ben here might be the guy you ought to come and see and talk to and see how they can straighten you out. What do you say, Dr. Ben?
Yeah, you know, that's the biggest thing is we see just as many teens and 20-something-year-olds as we do 50 and 60-year-olds. And so, yes, age makes a difference, but you know, I was just talking to a patient yesterday. And they're like, oh, talking about the wife, how much of this is just, you know, her getting older? I thought he was going to get slapped, but thankfully I didn't have to break up a fight or anything. But
dodged a bullet there.
So he said, he asked, you know, how much is it just aging? And, you know, I see this exact same blood work. I can see it on a 38-year-old or even a 28-year-old. So, you know, yes, age is part of it, but the body can break down. If you give enough of the wrong things to the body, it will break down. And that's what's going on with so many people out there. And that's why traditional medicine is failing, and it's failing miserably. You know, if you look at chronic conditions, which are going to be autoimmune, thyroid, gut, brain, you know, all these things where people just don't feel good. They're not thriving. They feel horrible on some different level. They aren't being failed by the traditional medical system. There's no drug that's going to fix them. There's no surgery that's going to fix them. But besides that, that's about all that there is in that side of the spectrum. So then we look at our side and go, okay, well, what can we do? Well, let's figure out which system is actually the most problematic, which systems are going to be in the worst shape, you know, whether that's the liver or the gut or the inflammatory process going on in the body or the blood sugar, all these things. And so then from there, we just go through step by step through the process of reversing those, and people are able to start walking again. They get out of their wheelchairs. They're able to reverse their diabetes. We just had a lady yesterday. She comes down from Douglas, Wyoming. She's down 50 pounds in 3 months, and her blood sugar went from diabetic to non-diabetic and just super big changes on so many levels.
Now, is she the one that had like a reading of 300? I read this on Facebook yesterday that somebody had like a reading of 300, and you brought them back down to between 70 and 100. That's amazing.
Yeah, that was another patient. So she's got an odd genetic condition going on, and you know, they just assumed her brother died from complications from diabetes, and her blood sugar was going up, and they just assumed, well, you know what, my blood sugar's just going to be off, and that's it. And so when we started, and she's like, you know, late 40s, and so we looked at the blood work, and we're like, holy cow, you know, the triglycerides were 500, the blood sugar was so high, the A1C, all these things. And literally, we're about a month in, and she's gone from 300 to 200. She's down in the 100s now. She woke up the other morning at 77, first time that she's been under 100 in probably years. And yet, it's not that complicated. If we can do it for somebody that's full-blown diabetic, that's got all these autoimmune or whatever else is going on, we can do it for you. And that's the exciting part about this is, you know, we work with patients all over the country, our Nashville office, our Phoenix office. And so we get to see a lot of different types of patients, and healing is possible for almost everyone.
So I suppose if you're running around that high on the level, if you're up around 300 and you can somehow get it back down to 75 or 100, is that going to just, I can only imagine that would just change your life dramatically.
Yeah, so here's some of the things that shift. Hormones are going to shift. So if you're a dude out there and your blood sugar is messed up, you are causing your testosterone to convert over into estrogen. What does that cause a guy to start looking like? Any ideas?
No, like a woman.
Yeah, we start feminizing. You get man boobs. If you remember old Seinfeld episodes, they talked about the man's ear and the bro, you know, you start making these bras for dudes. So you start getting that. I've seen guys with hot flashes. I've seen guys, you know, it can get so bad that they actually start lactating.
Oh, my gosh. No way. Really?
Yeah. Look, well, I was going to say look it up on YouTube, but that might be a little too much. So, you know, for guys, we'll start seeing that route where it goes from the hormones, we'll start converting the testosterone to estrogen. And that's why the majority of guys have low testosterone. It's actually not a low testosterone production. It's an overconversion into estrogen. So we'll see hormone problems. Women will start having hormone problems. They'll start having low testosterone themselves. We'll see so many different inflammatory processes. If I see somebody's ferritin high, which is their stored iron, if I see somebody's triglycerides high, then we know that they're even spilling over into fatty liver and lots of other issues. And so that's the exciting part about this is if we can start making these changes and we can start stabilizing somebody's blood sugar, you know, miracles, literally miracles can start happening even in the first month.
That is absolutely incredible. Now, Doc, we've talked about this before, and we talk about this a lot, actually, but it's not a one-size-fits-all approach, is it?
Oh, you know, I wish. It'd be, you know, I keep selling it on my late-night TV, and I go, hey, order this program. It's $1.99. And you go, okay, you eat this, and you take that, and everything's fine. And yet, unfortunately, but also fortunately, you know, it's that's not the process. You know, fortunately for me, because I would get bored, but you know, it is just part of the healing. And here's the deal. Every person is unique, and we know that.
Yeah.
And so as we go through this healing process, people learn exactly what to do and what not to do. I've got a book on Amazon, Blood Sugar Doesn't Lie. You can pick it up there. And I don't have a menu. I don't have a meal plan. I don't have a diet, so I'll tell you that right off the bat. And because everybody's so different, some people can eat a banana, other people can't. Some people can eat quinoa, and other people can't. And so it's way more individualized than people have ever known.
And that's really important because then you get to know them, and you get to know what they need. And then not only that, but then they get to know themselves, which is, you know, a lot of us really don't know what affects us or if we eat this, what it's really doing to us on the inside, because there's really nothing on the outside that immediately tells you that this is not good for you.
Absolutely. Those people that it does, they're the lucky ones.
Yeah.
And that's what we love to see. And I always kind of smile when somebody comes in and they say, oh my gosh, I was feeling so good, and then I went and ate cake or whatever it is, and like, oh, I felt horrible, and I'm like, yes, and I'm super happy that they felt horrible, because that's not just me wagging my finger and going, you better not eat that. You know, that's their body saying, you're going to die if you keep doing this.
Yeah, now I want to get into just a little bit before we get into our topic of the day, but I want to get into a little bit about how your blood tests work and how it's a little bit different than maybe somebody else's, like if you go to your regular doctor, some of the things that you do to really see what's going on in a person's normal life.
Yeah, absolutely. So two parts of the blood work that makes us different than everybody else out there. One is what we're actually looking at. So for a lot of people, you go to the doctor and they go, oh, one thyroid marker, they maybe do your cholesterol, maybe a CBC, just looking at some immune cells, a couple different things. And then you're like, oh, well, you're not in that bad of shape, eat better, lose weight. I don't know, that's about it. And And you're like, really? Maybe I do just need an antidepressant. And so people are like, oh my gosh, what's the deal here? And so from there, we go, okay, well, let's look at as much as we possibly can. So we look at autoimmune markers, inflammatory markers, complete thyroid. We look at liver enzymes, immune system cells, all these different things. And so our net is thrown so much wider. I love the analogy, if you've ever fly fished and you put that one fly out there and there's a trout behind that one rock and you're trying to get that one 18-incher right there and the trout takes it and goes. That's what a specialist does. So when you go into that thyroid specialist or that GI specialist or whatever, they are just looking at that one microscope little thing. But guess what? It's very seldom just this one thing. So we're more like back in Jesus' day where you throw the net out, bring it in. If you've seen the Chosen series.
Oh, yeah, it's
where,
a great series.
Where they put, you know, when he said, okay, pull the net in again, and it's like fills up the entire boat. You know, what was that, all the same fish? Probably not. There's probably, you know, 10 different fish in there. So that's what we do, is we just pull in, and whatever shows up, that's what we got to work on. And so then the other side is going to be from the way we look at that blood work. So traditional lab ranges are going to be looking at, okay, this is 90% of the population falls into this range. That's okay. But guess what? 90% of the population is not healthy. Do you know by 2025 what percentage of the population is going to be obese?
Yeah, so why would you want to base your health off of that? You don't.
50% of the population in this country, and obese is not just 20, 30, 40 pounds overweight. That's like 100 pounds overweight, and half of the people in this country. And then people are like, why is the U.S. that much worse on COVID deaths than any place else in the country? And one of the huge reasons is because it's the pre-existing conditions, and the vast majority in Italy, 98% of the people that died from COVID had pre-existing conditions. They were overweight or obese. They had diabetes, high blood pressure. They had lung issues, heart issues, things like that. It's not the young healthy that are dying from this, and that still is true today. The vast, vast majority that are in the hospital, that are in the ICU, are overweight and obese, and that's something that the officials that keep talking about things don't want to bring up because it's not, you know, appropriate. It's not, you know, oh, you're going to, you know, you're prejudiced against people that are overweight or aren't healthy or whatever. It's like, no, these are things that can be reversed. People can get healthy. People can lose weight if they are given the right tools and taught the right things.
Yeah, and the cynical side of me says, Doc, there's no money in that, so why would we want to promote that? And you are listening to The Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins, Phoenix, Arizona, and now Nashville, Tennessee. And you can get a hold of Dr. Ben and his crew over there at 970-282-1173 or go to fmcenters.com. Okay, Doc, so we were speaking about the virus, and we're speaking about you know, how you can fight off things. So I want to talk about antibodies. There just seems to be this huge thing right now. You know, if I've had COVID, why do I need the vaccine? Don't I have antibodies? Why don't you explain to us how the antibody thing works?
Yes. So an antibody, this isn't just a new thing with COVID. Antibodies have been in our bodies as long as we've had bodies.
Okay.
Antibodies are immune system cells that are produced out of the bones, and they're going to be released when we get exposure to a bacteria, a virus, different types of pathogens that come into the body. And so if you've seen the movie 12 Strong, where the were they Army Rangers, Navy SEALs, one of the two, they rode through Afghanistan, but bless these guys' hearts now. I'm sure they're just rolling over, you know, crying, watching what's happening there now. And so they would sit up on the ridge, and they were on horseback and just, you know, going through crazy stuff, and they would call in these airstrikes, and then they would go blow up the Taliban and then move on to the next one. And so that's what antibodies do, is they tag those tanks for destruction. And they say, okay, B-29, come here, or B-52, come in, blow up that area, and we'll be good. And so that's what the antibodies do, is they tag something for destruction. So COVID, Epstein-Barr, mono, West Nile, all of these different things we have antibodies for if we've been exposed to them. And so antibodies are great, and they're going to remember and come back and say, okay, now you've got
Oh, Doc? Charlie, do you want to see
that's
if we
look? Whole idea.
Oh, there he is. Okay.
And that's the whole idea with the antibodies is so that it's this memory type of an immune system. So we're going to be able to keep doing it, keep coming back, and even if you get exposed again and again and again, that immune system will still be able to handle it. Now, there's two types of antibodies and virus load type of situations here. One is going to be more of a long-term, which would be if you've had chickenpox, if you've had measles or mumps or any of those are going to be long-term. So what you kind of one and done, right?
Okay.
You get it, and you don't have to worry about getting it again. Even people that get shingles, all that is reactivated chickenpox, basically.
Ooh, don't want that.
Nobody wants shingles. But then you've got, like, influenza. Influenza, the flu, is a virus. And what does that tell us? Well, that keeps coming back. And every year, we have something different. One, yes, it's going to be seasonal. They are going to change a little bit. But two, a lot of times those antibodies fade. And if somebody is not very healthy, if their immune system isn't supporting as well, those antibodies will fade away. And so that's more of a seasonal upper respiratory infection, which is what COVID is as well, is a seasonal upper respiratory infection, meaning it's going to ultimately fall into like the flu pattern and some of those things. But remember the word they said novel when they first started talking about this?
Yeah, I do. What did that mean?
Novel means what?
No idea. What does it mean?
It means new.
Oh,
so
okay.
This is a new coronavirus. Well, what is new coronavirus? Means our bodies probably haven't seen it before. And so they're going to have to build up some type of immunity to it. And so, this isn't politically correct, but I said, hey, we should have let all the kids, let it run through all the kids in 2020 when first came out, because we knew that kids had, literally less kids died from COVID than in 1 year of the flu. So we knew it was very, very little to that. That's not a politically correct answer, so don't quote me on that one. But at that point, those kids would have had their immunity. Even if the antibodies fade on somebody later, they're still going to have T cells that are going to be able to produce those antibodies and really build up that immune response a whole lot quicker. So, once you have an official exposure to something, odds are your immune system is going to be able to do a whole lot with it the next time, even if you run out of antibodies. So, long story short here, antibodies tag pathogens, whatever, for destruction. Okay, so then why would somebody want to know if they've got antibodies to COVID? Well, because if they have antibodies to COVID, then they're going to be much more likely to be able to deal with that the next time they get an exposure. Yesterday even, Dr. Fauci came out and said that the only way we're getting to herd immunity is if we get enough people vaccinated and or enough people actually get sick, go out and get sick. And so this is kind of the first time they've admitted that, hey, you know what? Those people that have gotten sick, or if you're going to get sick and got over it, you're going to contribute to herd immunity, which is basically herd immunity. It's not really a realistic goal for this type of an issue. If it was chickenpox, sure, we can reach herd immunity, unless there are new kids coming up with it. But there's going to be enough people that have antibodies, and then they're going to move on, and we're not going to have that virus anymore. But this one, it's going to keep evolving, and there's going to be, even the Pfizer CEO a couple days ago came out and said, we're anticipating there's going to be a variant that's going to come out that's going to be resistant to any of the vaccines at this point. So, they're looking at another thing. So this is going to keep evolving. Just like, do you know what the regular stats are for the flu vaccine every year?
No, I really don't.
Anywhere from 10 to 50% accurate. And not even just, it helps, but like that they're not even putting it in for the right flu that comes out that year.
Boy, I didn't know that. So it's really it's really a crapshoot if you go and get your flu shot.
Absolute crapshoot. And so, that's the part with this. And so then they start saying, why did it come out, last week that, 8 months, you're going to need a booster. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did. And it's like, so is this ever going to end? Are you always going to need booster shots?
No. No, so it's not. And what the research has shown and what Israel is showing, because Israel's like, you know, they send everybody into the military for 2 years and they can do pretty much what they want with their people.
Right.
Pretty much everybody has gotten a shot. And they're at, you know, it'll be like 6 months that the routine. So watch over the next 3 to 6 months. They're going to say, hey, every 6 months you need a booster. And that's because these antibodies are fading from that vaccine and fading pretty rapidly compared to what they were hoping. And even the effectiveness has gone down dramatically. So Pfizer, they're showing that 42% effective with the Delta variant, which is, you know, at first they're like, oh, 95% effective. And now we're only at 42% effective. Moderna, about 73% effective. So, you know, the rates have dropped dramatically. Part of that is because it's been, for a lot of these people, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months since they had their first shot. And now they're, you know, starting to fade. And the other part is that, you know, things, as the viruses evolve, there was a great great study done with chickens and one of the viruses that they vaccinated for against that. And they put those chickens into two different groups, and one they gave the vaccine to, the other they did not, and they checked the type of virus that those chickens were shedding, and the ones that had been vaccinated, they were shedding a much more virulent virus, meaning more deadly, potent, everything, where the ones that hadn't had the shot, they were just shedding, you know, just basic virus that wasn't going to be like this death bomb when it hit everybody. So, you know, what the research shows is that by having this mass thing that we're doing at this point, we are seeing that viruses are going to evolve almost like antibiotic resistance. So it's an interesting experiment that we're doing at this point. You know, we've never done something like this in the history of humanity, you know, during an actual outbreak. And so we'll see how it goes. But antibodies are definitely one of those tools where if you have antibodies, there's a very, 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 very good chance that the next time you get exposed to the virus, you're going to do just fine.
Okay, let me ask you this then. This is the $64,000 question in my mind. If you've had COVID, do you then need to also go get vaccinated? To me, it seems like a double dose of something you really don't need.
Yeah, so, you know, it's, and this is what I've been saying all along, it's an individualized decision. And so when they're saying, oh, we're going to go door to door and try to have people do this, we're going to, you know, everybody needs to do it, it's safe for everybody. And that, here's my thing, I've seen enough patients over years to know that nothing is safe for everybody. You know, that one person that it's not safe for, in their world, if it was one out of a million, you know, that they would tell you it's not safe, and they would go, man, I shouldn't have done that. And so whatever that is, whether that what we're talking about now, or that's, you know, certain type of food or anything at all, there is no one thing that's good or bad for, I mean, well, maybe bad, but no one thing that's good for everybody. I was going to say coffee, but I was going to get everybody would change the station.
Right.
So there's no, you know, okay, this is good for everybody. So it's an individualized approach, and you need to work with your healthcare team, do your research, all of those things. And there's certain demographics. You know, if you're a 70-year-old guy that has a big belly, overweight, on diabetes medication, has high blood pressure, sleep apnea, all these things, and not going to change your eating at all whatsoever, that's the demographics that's going to have a horrible time with this virus. And so for them, I don't know, maybe they should get the shot. You know, if they're not going to do anything else, maybe they should. But then there's other people that, you know, I've got a 40-year-old that I'm working on that's got multiple autoimmune conditions. His body's already super revved up and inflamed, and his inflammatory markers are through the roof, and he's concerned about it, of what type of a reaction could happen in his body. So, you know, he's having those conversations. So it's an individualized thing, and especially if you've got antibodies, then that makes it go to another level.
So in other words, I guess I'm still a little foggy on this. What do you think about if you've had COVID, should you then go get the vaccine? To me, I just think it's, you just don't really need to do that. That's just me. I mean, I agree that it's individual choice, but if you've already fought off the virus naturally, why would you then want to go and take this thing?
Well, and that's the great part about doing antibody testing, is you can go and get antibodies tested, and we've got over 50,000 followers on our Facebook pages, and people comment all the time and say, hey, I was back May of 2020, I had this, and I still have antibodies last time I tested. February, I had COVID, and I still have antibodies. I just tested them last week. And so we see this over and over and over, is that people still have antibodies. So, you know, for a lot of people, what they're looking at is, hey, if I have antibodies, I'm going to roll with this. And the stats show that they're at, you know, basically zero risk of getting the infection again, especially if they still have antibodies in their system.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. Now, is there any chance that you could, like, overdo it? You know, we talk about autoimmune. Is there a chance that if you have the antibodies, that if you went and got the vaccine, that you could start an autoimmune problem?
So we've seen that, and not just with this, but with other things, other types of shots, is that, you know, it can rev up that immune response. My wife's a perfect example of this. She had a MMR booster going into college a bunch of years ago, and I won't give the exact number.
But smart man.
MMR booster, and she developed an autoimmune condition 2 weeks later. Her body started attacking the platelets, and they said, you can be on prednisone the rest of your life, or we can take out your spleen. And as every good 18-year-old would do, said, screw that, I'm not going to be on prednisone, take out my spleen. And so she's been working on her health for all these years, trying to reverse things that had happened from that. And that was a direct correlation from there. So, you know, it depends on the person. And so, you know, for her, she's probably not going to go and do this again, like, you know, some other people will, just because of that potential. But again, it's an individualized choice. And that's the main thing that we have to keep thinking about here, is that, you know, what is best for you, best for your family, and your health system. And that's the whole point with functional medicine, is, you know, let's look at it and take an individualized perspective. Let's look at it from the whole picture, what every aspect, you know, and you know, then we'll make some decisions on what we're going to do for your thyroid, what we're going to do for your liver, your immune system, all of these different things. And that's what we have to do in functional medicine. If you're looking for healthcare changes, if you're looking for getting your life back, reversing damage that's happened, give us a call, 970-282-1173. Talk to you more about what you have going on, and anything that is needed, we will jump in and get going to get you your life back.
Doc, again, this has been incredibly informative. What a great show. I really appreciate you taking the time out today to join us and to do this. And I really look forward to talking to you again next week.
Absolutely, Dan. You take care. And everybody else out there, stay strong.
Thank you, Doc. Okay, you've been listening to The Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben, brought to you by the Functional Medicine Centers of Fort Collins, Phoenix, Arizona, and Nashville, Tennessee. Give Dr. Ben and the gang a call at 970-282-1173 or go to fmcenters.com. I've been your host, Dan Muir. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you for joining us for the Functional Medicine Show with Dr. Ben. Contact the Functional Medicine Center of Fort Collins now by visiting functionalmedicinefortcollins.com or call 970-716-0079. Join Dan Muir and Dr. Ben next time right here on KLZ.
The health advice and opinions on this broadcast are those of the host and guests, and do not necessarily represent the views of this station, Crawford Broadcasting Company, its staff, management, or sponsors.